This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Jackson Brandhorst was barely out of high school when he started working as a clerk at the Southern Illinois newspaper. The Southern, as its readers call it, is based in Carbondale in Southern Illinois. It's been in operation since 1947, so it was the paper Jackson grew up with. Last year, Jackson, at 21 years old, became its editor-in-chief. While the outlook for local news hasn't been promising, things seem to be going well for the paper. Its journalists kept up its quality coverage, and in 2022, the Southern's excellence was recognized by the Illinois Press Association. But it wasn't enough. Jackson and his colleagues left the office one last time last Friday because the paper's staff of 10 was fired by the Southern's new owner, Paxton Media Group, which bought the Southern Illinoisan from the media company Lee Enterprises, which also owns the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Drastic cuts at newspapers isn't a news story. Outlets like the Post-Dispatch and the Belleville News-Democrat have scaled back print editions in recent years. Meanwhile, local Missouri papers, including the Rolla Daily News, Waynesville Daily Guide, and Carthage Press, shut down completely. And according to Northwestern University's annual State of the Local News report, what's happened at the Southern is neither isolated by place nor situation, and it's taking place in real time to real people just an hour and a half away from St. Louis. To talk about the paper, its staff, and where local journalism in Illinois goes from here, we're joined by its now former editor-in-chief, Jackson Brandhorst. Jackson, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So, Jackson, news about Paxton Media Group's buying the Southern came out in October. How was it, though, that you learned about the sale and Paxton's plans for the staff?
Yeah, it was October 27th, I believe. Was called in, just got a phone call one morning, and I was told that we'd been sold and that Paxton would be, you know, in our office there in Carbondale to meet with me and to discuss all of the specifics. And we learned that they would not be retaining any of the employees. And that was it. We had an emergency Zoom call that afternoon so I could relay that information to my staff. And then after that, it was a month or so of uncertainty.
Mm-hmm. And was the surprise, was the sale, that is, a surprise at all?
We had sort of speculated, you know, with these corporations, we know that their properties are sort of on the block for the right price. We knew to be wary of a potential sale. Mm-hmm. We had looked around and we had sort of picked up some clues that maybe we were next up. Some other properties within the corporation had been recently sold. So we knew that there was a chance, but we didn't know it would be this abrupt. We didn't know it would be this soon. We had sort of hoped that it would at least go into the next year.
Mm-hmm. And was there any explanation offered by Paxton regarding what it was going to do with the staff?
No. There was just that they weren't going to retain the staff, and that was it.
Mm-hmm. Now, last week, it was your last week at the Southern, and we had said in the intro, this is a paper that you grew up with. I believe your grandfather's photo was even in it. What was it like to say goodbye? It must have been very tough.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredibly emotional. It's a somber time. It's a tumultuous time. My grandfather worked here in the 70s, actually. That's where we found that photo when we were cleaning up the office one last time. And it was shocking. It was obviously added to the emotion of leaving this place, in a place that I grew up and really respected, and obviously got the opportunity to work here and see, you know, my efforts come to fruition within the place that I grew up. It was really important to me. So super emotional, lots of stuff going on in regards to what's next, what's happening. It means a lot to me. This place, these people, this community means a lot to me. This paper means a lot to me. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And in your final column, you wrote that you're not worried about yourself. You've just referred to other people. But one of the things that you are concerned about is what happens to, quote, those without a voice. What is it that you meant by that?
Yeah, I mean, we've sort of developed this dynamic through 21st century media where everyone knows about these massive global events and stuff going on across the world and in other countries, but a lot of people don't know what's going on in their backyard, what their neighbors are doing, what their local government is doing, what laws and legislation are being passed, you know, that is going to directly affect them, and that's no good. We want to get people the information that they need in order for them to adequately exist in the place that they live, in their actual hometowns, or wherever it is that they reside at the moment. And that starts with listening to them, with having connections with them, with being involved in your community. Local news is important so that people know what's going on around them whenever they walk out of their front door. And that's something I wanted to really hit home in my column, is that you have to give a voice to the people. You have to be this journalist who is in the community and a reflection of what your community believes in.
Mm-hmm. And in the time that you have worked with the paper, and perhaps if we were to think about the time that you've spent, or you did spend, as editor-in-chief, is there a specific instance of what you've described that you are really proud of, where it showed that the Southern was doing something that no one else really could or maybe even would?
Yeah. I mean, I think the most proud that I've been is to someone, you know, who I would give the MVP trophy of the Southern Illinoisan would be Sean Anglin. Him and I went up, and you guys mentioned in the intro, you know, we went up and were recognized by the Illinois Press Association and the Associated Press Media Editors Association. And we, you know, we clean slate and all of those awards, and he was recognized for some very serious investigative journalism, investigative reporting concerning a cold case that he spent hours and hours and, I mean, months, years, actually, of his time into. Mm-hmm. And to see him get rewarded for that effort, I think, was probably the most proud I've been of the Southern. And of course, I mean, there's a long list of things, but just that's the top of my mind.
Mm-hmm. And why was it important to do that kind of coverage?
I think in that specific instance, it gives some sort of, for one, it's pride. Like, it makes you feel really good to be able to sort of add something to a story that was considered closed, to shine some light on something that not a lot of people know about, and to help a family who is still grieving over a case that is unsolved and trying to make efforts to get a case back open and to start solving things and to put the pieces together through, you know, I mean, we went through audio and video of stuff from the just years past that was incredibly difficult to go through. And for the family to come to us and tell us how happy they are that we did this and that he did this specifically is, I mean, it's next to nothing. I mean, mm-hmm. it's wonderful. That's why you do this. That's why you're a journalist.
Mm-hmm. What is it that you are hearing, Jackson, from the staff that you worked with? And I mean, what was their reaction to the news of the sale of the paper?
It was really chaotic and hectic at first. You know, a lot of people are blindsided by stuff. I mean, we had just had a kid, Kadarius Flowers, a sports reporter, come down from Detroit, and he had just gotten here. Awesome kid, super ambitious, young journalist, aspiring journalist. And he had just gotten here, I don't know, like 6 months before the sale, and it, like, his whole life is upended. You know, mm-hmm. For me, I'm trying to take care of things. I'm trying to make sure they're okay. So I let them, you know, be emotional, and then I try to, like, what can I do to help? So we all banded together as a team, and, you know, I think I mentioned in my last column is, like, what's next for you was a big question that we're asking everybody. What can I do to help you? Mm-hmm. How can I help you with a portfolio, with a resume? Who do you need to talk to? What connections can we make right now so that you can land on your feet, you know, next year? And this is a tough time. This is the holidays. This is not a time where it's easy to no longer have a job, to no longer get a paycheck every couple of weeks. So we really just banded together. We're trying to take care of each other, and we're still doing that. We still are going to do that throughout the month of December through next year. We're going to stay together. We were a family unit. So we were really, really close. Mm-hmm. And I know that it was tough for a lot of them. So
yeah,
it's trying our best.
Right. And so, I mean, without the Southern and its staff, I mean, what is left of journalism in and around the Southern Illinois area? Like, where does it go from here?
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly some, I mean, it's different these days, right? Like, we're trying to avoid news deserts, but you have this uprise in social media reporting. And we have a lot of, you know, small accounts, I think, in this area that do their best to just relay basic information. But in terms of watchdog, capital J journalism, that's not a thing that at the moment exists here. And I would hope that, you know, the new owners and those responsible for the Southern and its future will try to really lift this place up and really can do some investigative journalism and watchdog reporting and accountability within the community. I don't know. It's all speculatory. They seem to talk like they're going to uphold to those things, but who knows?
Mm-hmm. So is there something, you know, you as a community member of the readership, right, that the Southern Illinoisan was serving, is there a message that you want to share with readers?
I would suggest to readers to continue to support local journalism, to really try to be in tune with, you know, the things that are happening around you. Be aware of what's going on in your neighborhoods, what's going on in your local government, and support those who are making an attempt to relay that information to you, whether that's, you know, financially or just support on social media. You know, you get a lot of comments, and there's a lot of, I think I said vapid comments in my last column. You get a lot of people who don't know what it takes to really report and cover an area of over a million people. And I think that I would just ask to the community is to support those who you see making an effort to do this. Raise your voice when there is something wrong and try to make a connection with journalists in your area. Try to avoid not having news deserts. There's a stigmatism around journalism these days, and I want to try to avoid that. And I want everyone to be respectful of those making an attempt to tell you the stories of the place that you live.
Mm-hmm. And in the last 30 seconds here, Jackson, do you want to continue in journalism? What is it that gives you hope?
Absolutely. I mean, I want to stay in media. I sort of have this wild background and skill set, but I think that my experience here has shown me how important it is for people to stay in journalism and for people to continue to be storytellers and for people to, you know, it's convoluted in social media these days, but there's a need for serious investigative reporting so people know what's going on around them. So absolutely, yes.
We wish you the best of luck as you continue forward. Jackson Brandhorst is the former editor-in-chief of the Southern Illinois newspaper. Jackson, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
This episode was produced by Danny Wisentowski.
Podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
St. Louis on the Air proudly supports local artists by using music from Life Creative Group.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.